Welcome to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. It's Fiona and Dash here again. Hi, Dash. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Last night, I decided I was going to make some biscuits for work. And so I cooked after work last night, took them into work today, got them. Everyone was thrilled with it. And it got me thinking today about, when did you learn to cook as a child? Now, with myself, I learned to cook at a very, very young age, and that is because I grew up in the back of a restaurant from about the age of, I would have been six to about 11. And so because of that, exposure to cooking from a very, very young age and encouraged to cook at a very young age. And I just wondered if that's a generational thing. It might not be, but we were in the kitchen using knives. I mean, I was cooking things like toffees and things like violet crumbles, you know, that honeycomb, which is, I'm talking about high heat sort of stuff at a very young age. Like I would have been 10 and under.
Were your sisters doing the same?
Yeah, with no supervision or anything like that. We were obsessed. It was always a lot of baking that we'd do. We would bake a lot of chocolate fudge. And this is all stuff that you have to boil up to high heat. And I never remember having an injury except for once when I almost cut my finger off, but we can talk about that. But yeah, my parents would let us go for it. We were just all the time. And we didn't have to ask permission. We could just go into the kitchen and start cooking it.
And so, the ingredients would be there for you.
Yep. Ingredients always be there. And my mum always encouraged us to cook quite a bit because my parents were both working 7 days a week back then, like you did. And mum, after the restaurant, had a real estate agency that she ran for 7 days a week. And so we were often cooking dinner at night. Don't get me wrong, listeners, my parents were good parents and there was always a meal on the table. But there is some nights where, you know, we'd say to mum and dad, what's for dinner tonight? Especially as we got into older teenagers and mum would go, whatever you cook. And so as a teenager, particularly at university, I survived a lot on toasted spaghetti sandwiches.
Toasted chicken sandwiches,
which I still love to this day. That's still food that I really love. I just wondered when you learned to cook, or, you know, particularly I'm interested in, because cooking for you, I always get the feeling, and I might be wrong, that there'll be a lot of culture around it with all like handing down recipes and things like that. And is that true? Like, was that like for you?
Well, it is very annoying actually, because my mum is an incredible cook and my sister is an incredible cook who is younger than me, and they will cook incredible meals. I remember watching my mum cook and she never followed a recipe really. Yes. It's not like she had a recipe book up and that she was following it. She'd just be going a bit of this and a bit of this, a bit of this, you know, that kind of stuff. And because it is a lot of curries, like you'd go by taste a lot more. And I remember one time she was sick. And I must have been in early high school. And so she was quite sick. And I said, okay, I'll cook dinner. I'd never cooked chicken curry before. Anyway, I was just trying to remember what she would do. I put in so much curry powder. I mean, it was pretty spicy. But I think mum was just so grateful that someone else had cooked. She was like, it's fine. It's delicious. Yes. Thank you so much, darling, for cooking for me. But I think, yes, it was probably a bit too much curry powder. We didn't cook heaps. Like my mum did cook a lot and we probably should have cooked more. I do remember cooking brownies once and I put it on the grill instead of in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd cook things like you know, it would do, so Emma Saddington, my neighbour, first Australian friend, we would often cook baked beans on toast with grilled cheese. Like we could do that kind of stuff, but like full on meals or full on desserts.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Would you have a dessert with every meal or anything?
No.
Like that? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Did you?
No, for us, dessert was always, we'd have tinned fruit. So it'd be like peaches or plums or something like that with a scoop of ice cream. That's what we would always have for dessert. So mum would open up a tin of fruit. So it could be pears, could be peaches, could be plums, and then we'd have a scoop of ice cream with it. Always. That's what we would have.
Would you do that every night?
Most nights, yeah. I think that's how we'd get our fruit, like how we do it. And I still love tinned fruit to this day. But with the desserts, I think because my parents owned a pancake restaurant, and so that's a dessert restaurant, literally, although
Yeah.
it was pizzas as well, so pancakes and pizzas. We had a lot of the ingredients for cakes and biscuits and things like that in the home or in the restaurant. We went down that track quite a bit. Used to cook a lot of cakes, used to cook a lot of biscuits. We had the listeners will know if they know, we had the very famous New Zealand Edmonds cookbook, which I've still got to this day. And we'd cook a lot of recipes out of that cookbook, like all the time. I've got two copies of it, and I still use it to this day all the time. And in fact, when I was in Brisbane recently visiting my sister, her workplace were having a big meeting on a Friday, and she said, "Could you cook up some cookies for me?" So I spent the Thursday cooking three or four different types of cookies for her to take to work the next day. And what makes me laugh about it is she goes, "I've got the Edmonds cookbook," and she brings it out, and it's this limited edition special one that has photographs, because normally it doesn't have photographs. And I was like, "Oh my God, how did you get?" Like, it was
Wow.
like incredible to see the cookbook with photos, and it was so good. And I think just because it's such a beautiful childhood memory for us with this cookbook, that's where we would get all our recipes from. But I can cook a lot of those recipes without even looking at the book anymore because I just know them off by heart. You know, things like chocolate fudge, things like coconut ice, chocolate peanut brownies, pavlovas, the scones, all the types of scones that I had, the savory, the non-savory, the lemon meringue pie. Like, I know all
Wow.
those recipes
Off by heart.
off by heart. I know the page numbers on the book because as kids, we cook them so often. Like, we just cook, chocolate coconut slice. Like, I could just go on with all the things that are, and you know what we would cook from that book. My husband reckons, because I did that so much as a child, what fascinates him now when I cook, because I still cook quite a lot, is I'll be cooking something and then I'll just go, "Oh no, it's not right. I'm going to have to bin it." And he'll go, "What?" Like, and I say, "Oh, it doesn't look right. And if I continue on, the finished product's not going to be what it should be. I mean, it'll still be okay, but it won't be perfect." And then he goes, "But if you're a person who doesn't know that, how do you know?" And I go, "Well,
Yeah.
you don't know." And then because I'll literally bin it and start again. And then I'll start again. I'll say to him, "This is what it should look like." And he goes, "How am I meant to know that?" And I go, "Well, just from years of cooking, you just learn
Yeah.
that's the way it looks." Because the cookbook doesn't tell you that. You know, you just don't. And if I cook something that doesn't go right, if I think, why did they not go right? I don't understand why they didn't go right. So, for example, I cooked some peanut brownies while I was in Brisbane because my dad loves them. And I put them in, and Brisbane was really warm while I was there. And the butter's meant to be like at room temperature. And I put them in the oven, and these peanut brownies, which are normally this lovely little round biscuit, all flattened out. And I thought, "Oh my God, what did I do wrong? Like, I never had peanut brownies like that." So immediately I go online to look and go, "Why are my biscuits flattening out?" Like, and it said, and it made so much sense to me. It said that when I beat the butter, and I did that I must have overbeaten the butter, and the butter must have been more runny than it should have been. And so I emulsified the fat in it. And so
Yeah.
then when I cooked them, the fat came out. So then if I have a cooking experience that doesn't work, I research why it doesn't work
Goodness.
just to not make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that, or did
No. Good Lord, no. And I mean, there's things like when we were growing up, or when we were kind of coming into that kind of young adulthood, early adulthood era, Jamie Oliver was really becoming famous. So Jamie
Yes.
Oliver, Donna Hay, like
Yeah.
those cookbooks were really big.
Angela. Yeah.
Nigella. And so my sister has like a whole bookcase just dedicated to cooking books. And she would cook from them and then she would write a score for the recipe. And so she'll be like, that's 9 out of 10. Or, you know, she'll make edits as to like what they might have changed, etc. What I find interesting now, because I actually have some cookbooks here, but I never pull them out anymore because I look at all the recipes online. So if I'm going to cook something, I Google it. I don't go to my cookbooks anymore and think, oh, I've got to flick through. Whereas when I was first married and I had all these cookbooks. That's how I did it.
I've got a bookcase full of book cookbooks, so much so I sold some of my cookbooks not long ago, because I had some, because people used to give me cookbooks as a gift quite a lot.
Yeah.
I had some really, really expensive fancy cookbooks, but I wasn't using them. I sold them.
Yeah.
Got pretty decent money for them as well. Also sold some of them. But I go back to, I look at my cookbooks all the time, to be honest. Like they'll be sitting on my coffee table and I'll flick through them like quite a lot. And a cookbook is only worth the money you bought it if you cook 3 to 4 recipes out of it. That's how you get value for money out of a cookbook. So I try to follow that rule of thumb. If I've bought a cookbook, I will cook 3 or 4 recipes from it. I do look online quite a bit as well. Like sometimes if I want something specific and I think, oh, I'm looking for the best recipe of, you know, I suddenly want to make, I don't know, something, I will look at it and I'll actually put in best recipe for. And then put it in. So, like a, and why I do that is because I've been to a restaurant and, or I've been to a cafe and I've had a cake or a biscuit and I think, oh, I want to reproduce that. So, a classic example is I went to a restaurant that had a Sicilian apple cake. It's the most delicious cake I'd ever made. And in fact, I bought some apples this week to make one because my husband loves it. I love it. And I couldn't find the recipe in my cookbooks and I went through a whole heap of them. So, I looked it up online. And I read through a whole heap of recipes till I thought, no, that's definitely the one that's very similar to the one that I had. But the funny thing is I use their recipe, but I do modify it to my own taste as well. I do that all the
Yeah.
time. I'll modify a recipe. I think this will work better like this, and I'll add this in, and this is going to make it a better recipe. So I do that quite a lot.
It sounds like you quite enjoy cooking sweet things.
I do. It's always about baking. It's always about,
Yeah.
I do love normal cooking as well. Like, well, when I say normal cooking, like I cook most of the meals at home and I enjoy cooking. Like recently I've been cooking a lot of curries and I like to start things from scratch because cooking for me is a, I think it's my real relaxation. Like that's
Yeah.
where I get a lot of, like if I'm stressed or I'm just, yeah, it gives me a lot of joy, a lot of joy following a recipe. I can cook anything by taste and adding things in, but I do like a recipe. I think it's like a chemical, you know, it's a chemical reaction. And if you're
Well, I
doing
think
it
with
right,
baking in particular,
it is definitely
it is
chemistry.
definitely chemistry. Because I think that's why I don't like cooking bakery. I don't
No.
like baking things. I don't like doing sweet things. Whereas, I will much prefer to cook savory food and main meals.
Oh, there you go. See, because I also like experimenting with different sorts of salads. And like I go through phases, and sometimes I'll cook it for my family. And then, you know, my sister's coming over with her family, and she goes, "Can you cook that hot salad again for us?" I'm like, "Oh God, what did I do? I have to remember
Yeah.
what I did, you know, to do it." Because I don't just buy baking cookbooks. I'll buy cookbooks on like, you know, vegetarian cookbooks. So yeah, I buy all sorts of cookbooks and try different things and love doing different styles of quiches. And yeah, I think it's just, you know, when you grow up in a kitchen like we did, I can actually physically remember the first time I saw a microwave. My parents had a wall of microwaves for the restaurant and big, big cookers, you know, and I remember cooking my own pancakes on the big cookers. And I love pancakes to this day, by the way, Dash. That's
Yeah.
the pancake on the, as long as it's not too sweet, but if there's a pancake on the menu, I want a pancake. As you know, you and I've been multiple times.
Oh,
Lemon sugar
yes.
pancake, lemon sugar pancake, I'm
Because,
there.
see, I always get a savory pancake. You always get a sweet one.
Always get a sweet, always for me.
And so it's kind of interesting. So I think I have, I do like chocolate and stuff like that, but I do tend to prefer savory things to eat and savory things to cook. I
Yes.
would much rather have cheese and crackers to start and a
Yes.
main meal or starters when I go out than have dessert at the end.
Yeah.
Although that said, actually, now I'm going to go back on that. I do like going to restaurants and ordering dessert because I know I can't cook it and that I won't cook it.
Yeah. Oh, you won't cook it. See, I'll go home and go, how can I make that?
So there's this Greek restaurant that's opened near us, and they do a rice pudding with berries, I think. stewed fruit, but as a creme brulee.
Be delicious.
It is so delicious. And I was just like, this is so now I've been there twice and I've ordered it twice.
Oh, you have to tell me where. We'll talk about that later. Because what would happen is I would have that, and then I would go home and research the recipe, and I'd put the name of the restaurant in, and I'd say, because quite often when people have been to these sorts of places and you want it, and if you put the name of the restaurant in, someone would have put the actual recipe up online.
Wow,
Yeah, so it's
interesting.
yeah, so quite often someone's put the if it's like a famous dessert or something like that, someone's put the recipe up online.
The only other thing I was going to tell you is when we were studying biomed, I can't remember if I've shared this before, but when we were studying biomed, our contact hours being at university were really high because we had very long labs. It would have probably been the same for you. But I remember we had a 3-hour anatomy lab on a Wednesday afternoon. It would be exhausting and at times a bit boring. But my friend Mel, who did biomed with me and then went on to become a chef,
Yes.
every Wednesday would make us a cake that she had
Really?
experimented with. And so she'd bring this cake, and it was called Cake Wednesday, and it was the
Yes.
reward for getting through our anatomy lab.
Oh,
And so we'd all sit there and we'd eat this cake that she had made. It was amazing. I can't believe, like, I just cannot believe she would do that. And she's someone who'd also stay up late cooking. Do you
Yes.
do that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. So I stay up late. Like I stayed up late last night cooking. Just
I
to,
could not be bothered to do
yeah.
that.
Oh, it's just so joyful. And then when it turns out really right, you're like, oh, this is just perfect, you know? Just, and I love it when I, so say I cooked last night and it didn't work out, I wouldn't have taken it to work. It's just going to be the best when I take it to work. So, like, I knew this chocolate caramel slice that I was taking to work today was going to be knock people's socks off. It was a really good one. So, I don't know. I'm not doing it for praise or anything like that. Like I don't put my name on it or anything. I just sneak it into the kitchen and just, but I tell you what, when I take it to work, I write all the ingredients on it.
Oh, yeah, in case
I'll
anyone has an
say,
allergy.
and everyone goes, and so it's funny, they always go to me, I'm so glad you do that. Because it just means that someone's got an egg allergy or a peanut allergy or, you know, just here's everything that I've put into it.
That's very considerate of you.
Yeah. Always put down. It's not the recipe. I just put down what is in that recipe, you know. So
Yeah.
it's got butter, it's got flour, it's got brown sugar, it's got 70% chocolate. It's got, just so people know, like when I made the peanut brownies, that's when one girl is allergic to peanuts and she would have seen it, but she goes, oh, that was really great the way you put that. And that's when I found out she's allergic to peanuts, and not allergic as in she can't be in a room with them. And I said to her, oh, next time I make something without peanuts, so you can have some.
Because it's really interesting because I do have so many allergies. God, I sound like I should be in a bubble. Anyway, I very rarely will eat food prepared by someone else at
Because
work
of that, yeah.
because of that. Because I'm just like, I don't know what's in it. I also have this freaky thing of like, if I don't trust the person or really know the person who cooked it, do I trust their food prep skills?
So
So
it's funny
bad.
you should say that because you'll laugh. I put my hair up in a hairnet last night. So I had my hair in a hairnet because I knew I was cooking for others.
Yeah.
My husband says it's hilarious. He comes home and he says, you got your hair up in a hairnet, you know, just so no hair goes anywhere. I'm
Yeah.
wearing a full-on cleaned apron. The dog
Yeah.
is not allowed anywhere near the kitchen. I'm washing my hands continuously as I'm doing it because I know that I'm going to take it to work and I don't want to make anybody. But saying that, I have done a food hygiene course as well
Well,
because
same.
that's why, yeah.
Because I worked in the Coles Deli, right? And so we had to do like a certain certificate level in food handling and safety.
Yeah.
And so it just makes me really nervous when, because I think home cooks can get away with it, right? So, okay, I'm going to totally trust the food you cook for me because now knowing all of that. But there are people that, unless I know them really well and know that they do those types of things, I'm just like, I don't trust the food you cook.
Probably the reason why I'm so used to doing that is I don't know if I've told you this before. I might have, just correct me if I haven't. But back when I lived in Perth, I used to run a little food stall.
Yeah, with your
Yeah, and
sister.
yeah, so we do it at markets. And no, different to Julia. So this is with a friend of mine, and it was called Fee and Louise. And we had at this market that was at UWA, and we would do a bake every couple of months. We would do a full bake and sell at the markets. Did I tell you
Wow.
that? I don't think I did. And
I
so,
think I knew about the food thing you did.
yeah, with
The
my
sugar
sister.
sweet? No, something.
The sugar breakup. No, this is
Sugar
different.
break.
This was before the sugar breakup. So this was called Fee and Louise, and we would hire a commercial kitchen, and so we would hire it from the council. So we'd have commercial ovens and everything, and I had all the commercial cooking stuff, and we would cook all types of cupcakes, we would cook slices, we would cook cakes, and I had all the, like, I had a full display cabinet that you would put it into, and we would sell at
Wow.
the markets. And what was funny is recently, when my parents recently moved, all my stuff was there. So mum goes, "What do you want to do with it?" So I sold it. I sold all of my commercial cooking
Wow.
stuff. So I had something like, cupcake trays. Like big cupcake trays, I had like 30 of them because we would do huge commercial cooking. I don't think I ever told you that story.
No. And I didn't even know people could do that, like rent out a commercial kitchen.
And that's why I've done all my food licensing, because you had to be licensed and you still had to be set up with the proper hand washing technique and protective covers and all that sort of stuff. So I was the licensee of it. And then you learn what, people's favorite things are. So, like, you would think it would be chocolate, but it's not. The things that people loved the most were like lemon curd cakes, and passion fruit cakes were really popular. And then the things that used to sell like hot cakes were, we sold lots and lots of mini cupcakes, and they'd be decorated ridiculously with lollies all over them, and they would just walk out the door. People would come and buy like 10 of them, and hand
Wow.
kids. And so I based all of our cooking on this great cookbook that I bought from the Women's Weekly called The Cake Stall. And literally, we would run these cake stalls, and I set it up very much how they suggested, with all the little signs with the little chalk things on them. And I'll have to send you a photo.
But I was going to just say, I read Indra Nooyi's biography, and I've also watched a lot of the talks she's given. So she used to be the CEO of PepsiCo. And she said there's no such thing as balance in life. There's juggling. And she shares a story, which I just thought was hilarious, of I think her kid would have been in primary school, said to her, rings her at 9 a.m. or maybe it was a drop-off. Anyway, tells her at 9 a.m., oh, by the way, it's your turn to bring chocolate chip cookies for school today. And she was like, you didn't tell me about this. And she's like, it's written, it's on the fridge, you didn't see it. And she was like, well, firstly, she doesn't know how to make chocolate chip cookies. Secondly, and her daughter said she wasn't allowed to do the pre-made ones. So she rings down to the cafeteria at PepsiCo and says, you have to make the best chocolate chip cookies. They need to be homemade tasting and they need to be ready in 40 minutes. I'll pay you whatever. And so they did it and they wrapped it up in aluminum foil so it didn't look like it had been
Made in the
bought,
commercial kitchen,
made in a commercial kitchen, and she went and took it to her daughter's school. And apparently, they were the best chocolate chip cookies. So that was hero for her. And I was like, how funny. Now, that is 100% something I would do. I would 100% delegate.
I would have made them. I'd make them for you. You just contact
So
me
I
and
would
make them.
delegate to you. I would say, Fiona Kelly, I need X for work tomorrow. I'll
It.
come
Like my
pick them
sister
up from
did.
your house.
Yeah, like my
Yeah.
sister did to me. I made a whole series of biscuits for her.
Just, I, as I've gotten older, I mean, I will cook for friends and I've cooked for you before and some of our friends. I don't mind doing that, but day to day, honest to God, cannot be bothered. We
It's not your.
assemble food. We assemble food. We don't really cook food.
Oh, there you go. It's not your safe space like it is for me.
Well, I think it's because I have such long days. Like the other day, I did a 7 till 7:30,
It's
and I
late.
was just like, there's no way I'm cooking cookies.
Seriously, see, I would have come home and just gone, "Oh, this is such a great way to end the day."
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I'm like, whatever, it either needs to have been cooked beforehand or I'm getting Uber Eats.
Eat a lot of Uber Eats because I'm happy to just cook at the last moment. And I'm very good at looking what's in the fridge and what's in the cupboard. And I keep a lot of things frozen, and I'm like, oh, I can cook straight away, So I just get going. And just like the other night, I wanted to make a pumpkin soup, but then I knew I wanted to roast the pumpkin first. So I was just annoyed that that was going to take an extra hour to get it roasted. But then just decided at, 5 o'clock, and I said to my husband, oh, I feel like a pumpkin soup tonight. I'll start roasting, and just we ate the pumpkin soup
So
by
you
the
had the pumpkin
morning.
already?
Yeah, I had it in the fridge, and then put it, roasted it, and then made the soup from
So
roasted pumpkins.
when you go shopping, do you not go shopping with a shopping list?
No, I don't go with a shopping list.
Oh my
I
God,
have an
that's so
idea.
weird.
No, I have an idea what I want to cook, so I do have an idea. Like as I said, I've been making a lot of curries. I bought the pumpkin thinking maybe I'll make a soup. I haven't made a soup in ages. I always buy mince because mince can be so many different meals. I can make a hamburger from it. I can make pasta sauce from it. I can make Mexican from it, a shepherd's pie from it. So I buy things, and then I always buy things like potatoes, and I have a lot of frozen veg because then I've got a, veg doesn't go off then. And I just go, okay, I know that this can make 5 different types of meals, and then I can decide on the night what I want to make with it. So I do a lot of that. You don't do that, obviously.
Nah.
You see, you're looking at me blankly going, what?
I will go online and I
Yeah.
will look up our recipes that we cook on a fairly regular basis. So a lot of them are recipe tin eats
Yeah.
recipes. And then I will write down all the ingredients
Oh, and go buy it.
and go buy it.
And I see, like, I buy that pumpkin thinking, okay, this pumpkin could be a soup. This pumpkin could be a hot salad.
I
This
couldn't.
pumpkin could be a whole lot of, that's, I would see the potential of that. That could be 4 different types of meals. So I'll buy that.
That's how my mum does her grocery shopping. I just couldn't deal with the uncertainty of that.
So it's like, even like I bought some steaks, right? Thinking, oh, okay, I'll cook some steaks. But then I ended up, we shared a steak actually. We cooked one. It came with 3 steaks. So we shared a steak because I wasn't feeling particularly hungry that night with a big salad. And then the next steak I cut into strips and I made a curry out of it, a green curry. And then the next steak I cut into strips and we had a stir fry. It's just always, whereas it could have been 3 steak nights. I don't know. I just always think there's potential in different things. So I used to love this show that the chef would come to your house and you go, I've got nothing to cook. And they'd just open up the fridge or the cupboard and go, yeah, there's heaps of things we can cook from this. And they'd start going. But I always have to have, you will forever find in my house, always 2 dozen eggs, always, because I can make anything if I've got eggs, sweet or savory. Milk, butter, I have loads of butter in my fridge, always. Flour, all the different types of flours, sugar, both dark and light. Vanilla essence, and then I can cook anything. Oh, and pasta. I always have a bit of pasta and always, always mince. And then I'm off and going. I can cook. Because sometimes I'll go, oh, I want some pasta. I haven't got any pasta. So I make the pasta myself. And then I just
Stop it. Nah,
do.
no way. Nah. Absolutely. And then my friend who used to be a chef and is now is married to a chef, they are similar. They have the most extensive pantry. And I remember going to her house. We had that tiny little break in lockdowns during COVID. And we were just talking about how we were like, oh my gosh, we've got to stock up on food. We don't know what's going to happen. And she was like, I knew we could last for 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm the same.
What?
I'd last for 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. And in that, I could just cook something more and I can see what that could be.
We would die pretty quickly.
Hi everyone, it's Dash. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast, and don't forget to leave a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed our show and like what you're hearing, tell all your friends and family and hit that subscribe button. If you want to hear our updates and know when episodes drop, follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. And our original music was composed and performed by the amazing Luke Champion.